Rich, what you
Well,
think?
what I want to share with you is what I've gotten involved in recently, which is
okay.
the Interfaith Solidarity March Los Angeles, which is actually broader than Los Angeles. It's going to be a virtual march. It's going to be September 13th from 2 to 4. So you can find out more about it by going to Interfaith March LA 2020.eventbrite.com.
Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world. The role of religion in the ancient world was to govern, to reflect the will of the gods, often personified in kings and dictators. Religion appeals to a higher authority. Humans need a power greater than the state. In the modern world, that power is the voice of the people. The battle against authoritarianism is the central struggle of humankind. From the ancient world to recent protest movements, the right to govern ourselves is at the center of humanity's quest for freedom, justice, and equality. We are not in the midst of an ideological conflict between socialism and capitalism. The problem of evil existed long before capitalism. The primary conflict is between authoritarianism and democracy. Capitalism may be a problem, but attempts to counter it are often undermined by authoritarian leadership. The solution to the problem of oppression begins with democracy. Ideology, like theology, is often used to control and manipulate people. We have true believers in ideology and cults of personality. Cults are not limited to religion. There are self-help, business, and political cults too. Many people worship their political leaders and believe everything they say. They are willing to believe obviously false things and are easily influenced by political propaganda. We are, in fact, all under the influence of propaganda. French philosopher Jacques Ellul wrote that propaganda gives us assurances equivalent to those formerly given us by religion. It offers us a simple and clear, albeit false, explanation of the world. We actually need propaganda to help make the chaotic world intelligible to us. Propaganda is everywhere. Advertising, political messaging, publicity, public relations, and some media, news, and entertainment are all forms of propaganda. There is a fine line between education and propaganda because the education system has been so often used to disseminate propaganda. Even professors and institutions of higher learning disseminate propaganda. Propaganda can be defined as the systematic dissemination of information designed to influence people's opinions, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. Many people associate propaganda with false and nefarious materials, but propaganda can also be used for good. Propaganda is good or bad, depending upon the intentions of the propagandist. An anti-smoking campaign, for example, is benevolent, whereas fascist propaganda is evil. Political propaganda includes nationalist and far-right propaganda, corporate and establishment propaganda, third-party propaganda, and foreign and anti-American propaganda. It's important to be critical toward the information we receive, even when it comes from sources we trust. Just because something is new or popular doesn't mean it's right. Propaganda often contains at least some truth. It can be convincing, and there's often a process of indoctrination. Propagandists use half-truths and provocative language and images to trigger our emotions and to get us to accept what they are telling us and to behave as they want us to. They also appeal to our prejudices and opinions to get us to go that one step further than we would otherwise go in our thinking, attitudes, and behaviors. We easily see how propaganda influences our opponents, but we often fail to see how we are under its influence. It's easy to recognize that Nazis are under the influence of propaganda. This is not to say that we are no better than Nazis. That would be ridiculous. Instead, we are surrounded by propaganda and cannot help but be influenced by it. The propaganda directed toward us is, of course, more subtle and intellectual, but that only makes it more believable and effective. It's important to be skeptical about what we hear in the media or from our friends and leaders because we often fail to consider the propagandist's intentions. Many people don't have the time or ability to critically examine propaganda. Some, for example, argue that nonviolence doesn't work. This disinformation, probably disseminated into Hong Kong by China, convinced Andy Chan, a leader of the Hong Kong protest, to resort to more violent tactics. He forgot that nonviolence is a response to the failure and futility of violence. We need public support, and we shouldn't take it for granted or risk losing it. Soon afterward, the Hong Kong protests died down. Public support became more tepid with the increase in violence. Those shooting or running over protesters are under the influence of propaganda. Those who vandalize and burn public buildings or who hurl rocks and water bottles at police think they are fighting fascism. They don't believe they are hijacking the movement's message and giving the opposition ammunition to set the public against us. They don't care that they are featured mostly on conservative news media and in Trump's campaign advertisements. They are being used to rally Trump's base and to set the public against us. Liberal networks are largely ignoring the violence and vandalism in places like Portland, Oregon, because they know it doesn't help their cause. Violence, vandalism, and arson make people angry at the protesters. We know that domestic and foreign propaganda is being disseminated to both the left and the right. This is evidenced by the Mueller report and the reports of United States intelligence agencies. We also know that propagandists intend to cause conflict and division. It's important to identify divisive disinformation and to recognize when we are being manipulated. We need to learn about propaganda so we can defend ourselves. Propagandists use labels to demonize their opponents. The right describes progressives as Christian-hating socialists, while the left calls evangelicals Christian nationalists. While there may be some truth to these labels, the propagandist only wants us to yell at each other and call one another names. They know that if the election becomes about Christianity, the American public will side with Christians. Groups are manipulated by emotional phrases, provocative symbols, and glittering generalities. Propagandists pit us against one another. They set Christian-hating socialists against Christian Nazis, progressives against neoliberals, and white supremacists against Antifa, for example. There is truth to all these labels, but they are also used to cause division and conflict. Foreign propagandists like Vladimir Putin, for example, use the label neoliberal to set up a two-pronged attack on liberal democracy. On the right, President Trump and right-wing news media disseminate propaganda demonizing liberals, while on the left, foreign and socialist propagandists demonize neoliberals. In this way, they launch attacks on Democratic candidates from both the left and the right. There may be a neoliberal program, but when one looks closely at it, it conforms more to the Republican platform than it does the Democrats. The label neoliberal implies that we are engaged in an ideological struggle between socialism and capitalism. One has to accept this ideological premise to even understand the label. The intellectual content behind the label neoliberal is lost when it is used to defame liberal candidates. At best, it serves to identify candidates who do not support progressive policies or who are not socialist. This means that the vast majority of candidates running for public office can be described as neoliberals. As a result, the label neoliberal is misused to undermine Democratic candidates. Anti-American and foreign propaganda undermine liberal democracy by causing us to lose faith in our democratic institutions. Propagandists disseminate disinformation saying the United States does not have real democracy. The implication is that our democracy is not worth fighting for. It's not worth defending the Constitution because the United States is an evil empire. We need to tear down the whole system and rebuild it anew. Unfortunately, that new system is going to be just another domination system like authoritarianism, or capitalism if you prefer, if it is not a democracy. The far right foments hatred and violence and spreads disinformation while Marxists create divisive slogans and domination systems that categorize people and put them in their places. Everyone, for example, wants to be against racism, but that doesn't mean that the anti-racist books and programs being rolled out right now are any good. There must be room for criticism. The doctrines and ideologies of critical race studies and intersectionality are, of course, also propaganda. We are true believers in political dogma. To be woke is not to believe in certain things. It's to be aware of what's going on, how we are being manipulated, and when we are uninformed or mistaken. We must be critical of ideology, political messaging, and the news media. Question your leaders regardless of their rank and political persuasion. Stand up for what you think and believe, even when it's unpopular. Be authentic, think for yourself, and be aware that our leaders often appeal to our prejudices and predispositions to influence our beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. Ideology is the theology of politics. Politics, like religion, can be used to divide us. Religion, like politics, is about building community and learning to live with one another. Or not. Now let's turn to our discussion.
I have Rich Proceda is back today, my special guest, Rich Proceda. So he has Bible studies for progressives. So there's lots to talk about. So welcome, Rich. Thanks for being available today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Rich, what you
Well, what I want to share with you is what I've gotten involved in recently, which is the Interfaith Solidarity March, Los Angeles, which is actually broader than Los Angeles. It's going to be a virtual march. So you can find out more about it by going to interfaithmarchla2020.eventbrite.com.
You might want to say it one more time.
And also, Interfaith March LA 2020.eventbrite.com. And you can also call 323. When is it? It's going to be September 13th from 2 to 4.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking about the rejecting hatred and oppression, particularly in the name of religion and supporting freedom of worship and belief. We're going to be united to stamp out bigotry and violence and support the right to live peacefully. And we're united in affirming the role of the interfaith community in safeguarding the health and safety of all people. So I hope to be speaking at that march. Yes, it's an annual march, an international march, but now with COVID, we're doing it online, and you can go ahead and sign up at the Eventbrite address. And I hope to be speaking there, and I'll, of course, be speaking about the impact of propaganda and how politics has become a religion, that we use it in that way, that we could be, ideology takes the place of theology, how we get caught up in beliefs and become true believers in things. And sometimes we believe obviously false things, like a lot of the Trump supporters. When liberals look at Trump supporters, they can't believe what they believe. And it's the same way when Trump supporters look at liberals, they can't believe that we actually believe the things we do. And so it's important for us to see how we're affected by propaganda, because we can obviously see with the RNC, the Republican National Convention, how much propaganda was spewed out of that and how much falsehood was spewed out of that. Of course, I've told you before that propaganda isn't necessarily false. It can be true. It's more about affecting people's attitudes and behaviors and influencing people's opinions and beliefs. And so using truth is just as they can do that, and it still can be misleading. They can use true facts, but put them together in a way in which it's misleading. So that's what I've been involved in. Yeah, that's what I've been involved in recently, and I'm working on an article.
Have you been in touch with anyone that's directly connected with media psychology programs?
Oh, well, Lisa Snow is a friend of mine, and she's a media psychology specialist. And we've had some discussions about propaganda and the right versus the left. And so many times people don't recognize, first of all, what propaganda is. They think it means false information, but it's not necessarily false information. There's good and bad propaganda. And that all depends on the intentions of the propagandist. For example, an anti-smoking campaign would be a good form of propaganda, whereas Nazi propaganda is bad. And so it's really determined by the intentions of the propagandist. And that can be difficult to determine. But it requires some depth. Just don't accept what you're being told. Ask, what is this person trying to make me think, believe, or do? Or what type of attitude is he setting up in me? And sometimes we have a situation where you've got propaganda on the left feeding off of propaganda on the right. So in other words, the propaganda is done systematically so that you get more than one type of propaganda disseminated. You get it disseminated on the left and you get it disseminated on the right, but it's the same propagandist essentially. So we have propaganda that pit Christian hating socialists. You know, the right likes to call progressives Christian-hating socialists, and the left wants to call evangelicals Christian nationalists. So while both of these things have truth to them, they're not the whole truth, obviously, but they work together. They work together to get us to yell at each other and to call each other names and to cause conflict and division and increase hatred among both sides for the other. And we might not admit that that's what we're doing. But when we start calling people Christian Nazis and start viewing people as Christian Nazis, how are we different from Trump calling us Christian-hating socialists? It works together to get us at each other's.
Right on. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so you mentioned power and money, and that's what we're in a conflict over. We like to think it's about ideology. We're battling against capitalism, or we're standing up for socialism, or that it's about race. This country has a history of being racist, and this is, nothing has changed. This is all coming out because America is racist and white people are racist. But really, what those are all secondary effects of the larger struggle over power and money. So the way it works is that someone at the top of an organization, government, political group, academia, they decide what policies they're going to promote, what they want to do. And then they send propaganda down to their population, to the people, and get them, through the use of propaganda, to agree to do those things so that they support those very policies that were already decided upon at the higher levels. So we have, for instance, this idea that we're in a struggle between progressives and neoliberals, for example. But this struggle between neoliberalism is really part of an attack on liberal democracy, because on the right, you have the struggle against against liberals. In other words, they're demonizing liberals. And on the left, you've got neoliberals. They're demonizing neoliberals. So it's really a two-pronged attack on liberal democracy. Those people who run over protesters with their cars or shoot them, or protesters who would like to throw rocks and bottles at police officers or burn public buildings, they're all under the influence of propaganda. Those, yep. Some of those people believe that they're actually fighting fascism. They don't think that what they're really doing is hijacking the movement and giving Trump fodder to set the public against us.
Well, so, and then more of a militarized police state, yeah.
Right. You know, you mentioned hypocrisy, and it just shows how easy it is to just suddenly switch over. In other words, you can talk on one out of one side of your mouth about how we don't have the money to support social services and other programs. And then on the other side, but we do have the money for huge tax cuts for the rich. And we have the money to spend trillions of dollars on the military. But for some reason, we don't have the money to feed our kids, to provide health care for everybody, to make sure we have programs, the mental health programs, job training programs, that we can't, well, now that we have the coronavirus, we're able to send people money, but we're not able to recognize, like, Andrew Yang. I think it was Andrew Yang who ran for president. We can send people money. You know, we can provide, what does the community serve? But for some reason, we've been set against poor people. We've been set against people of color. We've been set against the people who are in need. We've been told that we have to have a pull it up by your bootstraps approach, that we're, this is individual merit. But what we're really being is ripped off. We're really being ripped off. We're really, they're handing all the money. You know, the only reason the stock market is still up, I believe, is because Trump gave a huge tax cut to his cronies and buddies and to himself. And so there's no place for that money but the stock market. So despite what the economy is doing, the stock market's going in the opposite direction because there's so much money in the hands of the rich. And yet at the same time, there's so little money in the hands of the rest of us. And they give us a pittance to try and get us to vote for them. So we can see how easily...
With the, I mean, they can tax Wall Street. It's just a machine. Tax it. They're just bankers. What they do? Tax them. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, what did they do? Did they put their life on the line for the while they were watching the machine? Or what's money? I mean, it's all made up. Why are we allowing it go that way?
Yeah, it's we're being manipulated, but we're being willfully manipulated. I mean, Christians had, for instance, have always been high on moral values. Family values. I mean, remember when I was growing up, family values were very important. But all of a sudden, Trump comes along And all those values seem to go by the wayside. We forget that you cannot put a man of low character in high office. You're going to get scammed. He's a con man. You're going to get ripped off. Evil things are going to be done.
Like 6 times. Didn't he? I mean, already. I mean, like, okay, bankrupt 6 times. Okay, now, but he's such a good businessman to run our country when he's gone. What? Like, who taught you that? What?
Yeah, it's not true. And so we're being convinced of these things, but for some reason, human beings allow themselves to be deceived. I mean, sometimes it's so obvious. You know, bleach is not going to kill. It's not going to kill the virus. You can't inject yourself with some strange drug that's used for something else and expect that it's going to be a vaccine or cure COVID. You just can't do that. And yet people want to believe these things, that they have a tendency to. So we are in a real mess in the world. We human beings are living in denial. And it would be one thing it would be one thing if we had at least half the population aware of what's going on and fighting for right. And it may seem like that. But within that, we're all messed up. We're all divided. The propaganda is coming in to try and divide us and spread misinformation among us and disinformation. So we can, like, for instance, we get news. We don't hear anything on the liberal news about the protesters who are throwing bottles and burning buildings. Yet Trump's pushing it out there 100% of the time. And yet on his end, you don't hear anything about racial justice or the murder of black and brown people by police and the rules that allow a police to shoot unlimited amounts of time. If you shoot once, you can shoot him 10 times because basically the idea is that you got to stop the guy at that point. So the rules are made.
Again, go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that we still face is the problem of evil. We're still plagued by the problem of evil. There's a couple of things.
How do you deal with it?
Well, it's a complex problem. It's a difficult problem. But one way we can do is sort of unpack what's actually happening. And for example, some things that are really popular on the left right now are socialism and anti-racism. And while they all sound good and some of it is new, some of it isn't, but it's all very popular. But just because something is new and popular doesn't make it right. We've had this problem of human evil all the way back to ancient times. So
way back.
Long before capitalism.
Right.
So the cause of a problem needs to precede the effect. So we can't have capitalism being the problem of humanity when that problem goes back long before capitalism. So I don't think people really know what socialism is. What they're really thinking is we need policies. We need Medicare for all. We need social services. We need a lot of public services. And as opposed to a capitalist, which is sort of an authoritarian, down, money-driven system. But really, socialism is an ideology, and it's become it's like a religion that no one cannot be socialist. But what really is threatened is liberal democracy. So, and then anti-racism, we all want to be anti-racist, but that doesn't mean that the anti-racist critical theories and the anti-racist books that are coming out in trainings are right or are good.
One another, Christians.
Right. Right.
That's where you get the Christians.
Right. Yeah. And it may be just primarily an opportunity to sell books and make a lot of money giving trainings, but it's not necessarily all right. Just because right now we all have this feeling that we got to be on board with the anti-racist movement and with the movement for racial equality and justice doesn't mean that the policies that are being rolled out by critical race studies and the book on white fragility and anti-racism. And, you know, they've rolled out their program. And now nobody can disagree with what they're saying. In fact, they use this concept of white fragility, which was a best-selling book, but not necessarily right either. But white fragility, they use white fragility to say, if you disagree with what we're saying, that's because you're racist. Or they say something like, white people have difficulty talking about race. Well, I agree that there are mixed messages out there about if and when white people are allowed to talk about race. But as far as talking about race, white people don't have a problem. And the idea that white people have a problem is sort of a manufactured idea. They
of
have
course.
A problem because there are mixed messages. So that's just one example of a falsehood. And so we end up like defund the police. Okay. So defund the police. It's when it has to be explained. But why did you choose those three words? So first of all, things like defund the police, make America great again, the soul of our nation. These are what are called glittering generalities. They're a type of propaganda, which is a short phrase that evokes an emotional response. And I guess they're not hard to make. I don't know if there would have been a better one than defund the police. But then we have ideas from, say, Marxist conflict theory, where you want to create conflict. So it's not just the right that's creating conflict. It's the left that's creating conflict, too. Could we have worded that glittering generality, that three-word phrase? Could we have used something different, like divest from the police or
reform? Or how about reform the police? Go ahead.
Yes.
So only have
they
5 minutes.
A,
go ahead.
Okay, so the defund of the police is it's a fairly good piece of propaganda, a glittering generality. But did we have to have it at that time after George Floyd's murder? The country was completely unified. There was nothing that the right had to respond to that. Nothing. They couldn't say anything. And yet what came out was a piece of propaganda that immediately set us up for conflict. And so when we're talking about determining whether propaganda is good or bad, and sometimes it's probably mixed, it's both good and bad. And in this, that might be the case, because you can tell by the inevitable result of what is going to happen. If you put out a thing that says, take all the money, defund the police, what's going to happen? Well, you know, you're going to now get an opposition movement that's going to say, you can't defund the police. We got all this problem. In fact, you just handed Trump his whole campaign platform. You just handed him his whole campaign strategy. Yeah, so in sum, a lot of the groups and a lot of the activities, both on the left and the right, are cultish, or they may even be cults, or they're using cult techniques like propaganda to control and manipulate their members. And so we've got a huge problem because we're set up. We're being manipulated. And so we need democracy, but democracy is being undermined both by propaganda and by our own Democratic Party people by controlling us through propaganda.
Oh, the corporatocracy.
Right.
I mean, You got it. Yeah. And Rich, do you want to give out all your information about what you're doing again and contact real quick here?
Interfaith March LA2020.eventbrite.com and also Bible Study for Progressive, my podcast. So, and the Interfaith March is on September 13th, 2 to 4. It's a virtual march. So go ahead and register. It's the 13th of September.
Okay, 13th.
I'm sorry. 2
okay.
to 4.
So, okay. And then also to you on Facebook, Rich, R-I-C-H, Procida, P-R-O-C-I-D-A. Thank you. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he's here for the shift of the consciousness. Thanks for working with Interfaith, because that's where we're going. We're all connected,
awesome.
And much love, and thanks to you, Rich, so much for being on my talk show today.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.